morning's scripture reading is Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. That's Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep.
There are things in life that most people desire. A good family, protection from violence, success in their work, victory when there is war, worship that pleases God, churches that flourish and grow. For such things, people expend an awful lot of time and energy to attain. And yet alone, our effort will not ensure that we attain such things. Consider what Charles read in our scripture reading. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. If you'll notice in these two verses, the word vain is used three times. David's theme here, and it is a psalm from David to Solomon. And if you read Solomon's Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, Solomon spent an awful lot of time in his later years trying to find the meaning of life. And if you also notice in Ecclesiastes, the word vain is used an awful lot. But David's theme here is that human enterprises only succeed by divine blessing. That not all labors succeed. There is a labor that fails. In this psalm, there are several examples provided. Elsewhere in the scriptures, we have other examples when not all labor is successful. But first, in the beginning here, I want us to consider the examples in this psalm, such as our families. You know, good homes are most certainly desirable. There are blessings to being part of a large family. And there is certainly nothing wrong with desiring that. There is always someone to talk to. For children, there's always somebody to play with. And for parents, there's some free labor in getting chores done. But good homes require God's blessings. In the first verse, the word family here may refer to the temple. But if you would go down and read further in that psalm, you would see that the context suggests it refers to the home or the family. And a large family is indeed a blessing from God. You only have to go down in Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. And it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, I'm not implying that a small family or no children is a curse. Quite the contrary. But there may be times when it is God's will that one may be single or have a small family. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he was dealing with a number of issues here. But in verse 7, he said, for I would that all men were even as myself. But every man has his proper gift from God, one after this matter and another after that. A little further down in verses 32 and 30 through 35, Paul also writes, but I would have you be without carefulness. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married cares for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be both holy in body and in spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Now there is those in the religious world that have taken these verses out of context and applied it to things in ways that it should never have been implied. However, due to the sign of the times and the persecutions, Paul knew that it was easier for one who was single, that was a good and solid and strong Christian, that if persecution came and it was time to leave, he only had to leave with himself. But those who were married had to care for family and had to protect their family also. And so they were distracted in a sense. But you know, no matter where we stand in the family, without God's involvement, our efforts will fail. This also involves not putting family over God. In Matthew 10, verse 37, Jesus said, "He that loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You know, as Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." If we put family before God, then our labor regarding family will ultimately fail. And this principle also applies in our security. Now, we all desire protection from violence. This is why in ancient times cities built walls around their cities, and they had watchmen and guards guarding the night. Providing security is also providing for one's family. Paul in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, he said, "That if one provides not for his own, and especially of them of the household of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." But brethren and friends, security, true security, requires God's protection. Unless God is our guard, our efforts to protect are in vain. You know, we spend an awful lot of time, we put locks on our doors and our windows. Some of our homes have security systems, but we must be very careful that we don't leave God out. 121st Psalm reads, "I will lift my eyes up to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, which had made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keeps thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The sun shall not smite thee by the day, and the moon shall not smite thee by the night. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forth, even forevermore." You know, we can do an awful lot to provide security for ourselves, but without looking to God for help, we'll fail. And David then applies the principle in our work. God wants us to work with our hands. When God put Adam in the garden, it was there to tend to the garden. We must keep our hands busy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12, Paul wrote to the brethren here that we are to study, to be quiet, to do our own business, to work with our hands, and to walk properly toward those that we are in contact on a daily basis, especially those who might not be Christians. In Ephesians 4 and verse 28, Paul also commands us to provide for those less fortunate with us. But true success requires God's favor. According to Psalms 127 and verse 2, it is vain to work long and hard if God does not favor it. Our efforts will be just as Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 26 says, little more than gathering and collecting for others. We must therefore put God before our jobs. We must always remember, and I always say, and we need to always be reminded of Matthew 6 and verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we want to succeed in business where we can enjoy the fruits of our labor, then we need to seek to succeed with God first. Otherwise, our labor is in vain. So how does the principles of this psalm apply elsewhere? What about our battles? You know, when war is inevitable, victory is certainly desirable, especially when we are attacked. Our governments, they build armies and weapons for defense. But victory does not always depend on might alone, and preparation alone does not always guarantee success in battle. Solomon in Proverbs 21 and verse 31, he wrote, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Armies and weapons are not sufficient to ensure victory. In Psalm 33 and verses 16 and 17, David wrote here, there is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. We also must look to the Lord for our help, as our help and our shield. In verses 18 through 22 of the same psalm, David continues, behold, the eye of the Lord is the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Many greater nations have fallen in the day of battle because of their arrogance and their pride. The Persians were defeated by a small army of Greeks under Alexander the Great. The Roman Empire was defeated by Attila the Hun. Both the Persian and the Roman armies had great armies, skilled men, brave men. But it was not enough. You see, they didn't have God on their side. Now we put forth these principles to a spiritual theme. God desires that we worship Him. Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John 4 and verse 23 that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And it is also our duty, each and every one of us, to proclaim His praises, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But not all worship is acceptable. In Proverbs 15 and verse 8, Solomon said that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. And there is the vain worship that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 15 and verse 9, when it is based on the commandments of men. Worship such as this is labor that fails to please God. You know, we look at a lot of different churches in our neighborhoods and in this country and in this world. And they all have a lot of different beliefs. Which ones do you think God will find pleasing? But more important, what about in the Lord's church? What about our own individual worship? Where is your mind at this moment? Is it on God? Is it on His Word? Or are you going to get a seat right away at the restaurant after church? Or what are we going to fix for lunch when we get home? Or what are we going to do this afternoon? I wonder if there's basketball on TV this afternoon and what game's playing. I know there'll be basketball on TV this afternoon. But that's not where our focus should be at this moment in time. We set aside 2 hours on a Sunday to worship God, and that's where our focus should be. And if our focus is not there, then we labor in vain. And what about in our congregation? We are encouraged to labor for the Lord, a labor that is not in vain. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." But the writer of the Hebrew letter also said that our labor, God will not forget, Hebrews 6, verse 10. You see, when we work for Him, He's going to remember that. Success, however, does not come from labor alone. There are many here who talk with their neighbors, who have shared the gospel, who has tried to convince people. But you see, we are to plant the seeds. We are to water. But we cannot take God out of the mix. It is God that gives the increase. He will touch those hearts in due time. He is the source of any sufficiency that we may have, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. While we work as though it depends on us, we must pray as though it depends on God, because it does. Whatever our endeavors in this life is, it will fail unless God is involved. Whether it is building our families, or delivering us from evil, or blessing our work, or being our protection, or unless He is in our worship, will we look to God in all these things to ensure that our labor is not in vain? This prayer by Moses should be our attitude. We find the prayer in Psalm 90 in verse 17. David recorded it. He said, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. With Him in the mix, it will rise. God is the leaven that we need to get above it all. Are you looking to God to establish you in your labors? If you're not a child of God, you're missing a very important ingredient. God sent His Son for each and every one of us here today, and for every single soul on the face of this earth. He gave us a simple message that Jesus and God taught the disciples. John the Baptist paved the way, and Jesus provided the gate. Are you knocking on that door? That door is open to you, but you must go through it. If you're not a child of God, we want to give you the opportunity this morning. If you need to know and understand more, we need to know that you desire those things, and we will take the time and the opportunity to discuss it with you. But God requires that we must repent, that we must put off this old life, change our ways, that we must confess that Jesus is the Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins. When we do those things, God will add you to His church, and God will be in your life. And then live the faithful Christian life. And we all have a part in that. If there is anyone that desires that this morning, we want to give you that opportunity. If you are a child of God and God has not been the primary focus in your life and you need to make that right this morning, we want to give that opportunity to you also as together we stand and we sing.